Good morning. It's time for the K-State Research and Extension Report, and joining us this morning is Frontier Extension District Horticulture and Natural Resources Agent Lauren Gamble. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Now, we talked about these Japanese beetles. Apparently, they are not good bugs, and I'm excited to hear what you've got to say, maybe, again, the personal vendetta.
Yes, I'm going to give you a crash course on the Japanese beetle. You said you don't know anything, so at the end of this, you're going to know everything. You're never going to hear Japanese beetle again.
You'll be an expert.
Yeah. I'll give you a quick history first, and as the name would have you assume, this beetle is native to Japan. It first appeared in the United States in 1916, and throughout the last century, this, like I said, very destructive beetle, Vendetta, has spread to nearly every state east of the Mississippi River, and more recently has spread west of the Mississippi. Unfortunately, both stages of this insect's life cycle are destructive. There's the grub and larva stage, which is going to cause problems on your grasses, on your sod, golf courses, athletic fields, all those types of things underground. And then the adult stage is one of the most destructive horticulture pests for gardens, landscapes, orchards. It's everywhere. It's killing everything. So it's here. It's here to stay. It's really hard to get rid of it now. And again, it is spreading farther west. So I mentioned it has life stages. The Japanese beetle lives for 1 year and cycles through an egg, larva, pupa, and adult stage. Many of you have probably seen the adult beetle. It's definitely the more recognizable. It's kind of a metallic green beetle that grows to be about a half inch long at the absolute biggest. It's going to have dark green legs, copper wing covers, and 4 to 5 white tufts on each side of the abdomen. These tufts are a really good way to determine if it's a Japanese beetle because the green June beetle looks very, very similar, but doesn't have those white tufts. So if you see kind of 10 white spots, I guess, total, that's how you know you have a Japanese beetle. The adult stage is going to live above ground between June and September. Obviously, that depends on the season. And each beetle will be alive for about 30 to 45 days, and it's just going to feed for the majority of that cycle before it goes to lay its eggs. Obviously, like I said, it always depends on the weather. Many factors are going to determine when the beetles emerge. But in a general, like, cooler, moister spring, it's going to lead to later emergence of the beetles. And they're going to have a slower development because they was a little colder beneath the soil. Again, if they have a warmer spring, they're going to come out a little earlier. So you just got to keep your eyes on that. Males are going to come up first, and they will immediately mate with the females as they emerge from the soil. And then those females are going to lay up to 60 eggs about 4 inches deep in the soil. Knowing how deep it is in the soil is important. If you want to try to deal with the eggs, it's the hardest stage to deal with, but you obviously can. One thing the eggs depend on is water in the soil for survivor. So if we have a wetter, rainier summer, there's going to be a lot more grubs coming up in the fall attacking our lawn. That also means that if you let your lawn kind of dry out a little bit, instead of watering every day or every few days, it's going to lead to a higher mortality rate for those eggs. The larvae experience 3 instars, or larval phases, and the third is a stage in which they cause the most serious damage to your turf grass. Again, the third is also the biggest, and they're going to feed on those grass roots throughout the entire summer, fall, and into the next spring, and then they'll overwinter as larvae in the winter, so they're just always causing problems. They're white grubs, and they might appear closer to the soil surface, and you might be able to see them and get rid of them if the ground's super, super wet and then it dries up suddenly. But in late spring, around May, this larva is going to pupate in the soil and then come up again as an adult, like I said, in June. So you can try to manage for the larva. They're a little bit harder, but you'll definitely notice it in your grass if you have them. So that's just a super simple introduction into the beetle, what they look like, where you can find them throughout the year. Again, I know it's a lot of information, but if you want to come into the Extension office, we have a great publication on the Japanese beetle. It shows you the life cycle, when you can kill them, where you're going to find them. But in some cases, they might already be causing harm. So how do we track their behavior, find the damage, and eventually deal with the outbreak? So the beetle behavior highly depends on what the plants are in your landscape, and then what other beetles are doing. Because obviously, if you have Japanese beetles, because we're gardeners and it's just a hard life out there, you probably have other bugs as well. For example, roses emit a volatile chemical that actually attracts the adult Japanese beetles. So when beetles find a feeding spot, they're going to most likely be on roses. And then when they get there, they're going to emit pheromones, which draw in other beetles to the same place. Like I said, it depends on plants and other beetles, and they're going to aggregate in those specific areas. So if you find one beetle, there's definitely certainly more on that plant. Look around, try to get them all off. Roses aren't the only plant that emit that chemical that attracts the Japanese beetles. Some of the other favorite plants to look for in your landscape are crabapples, willows, Virginia creepers, the American elm, and the Norway maple. But again, unfortunately for us, they're so destructive, they feed on over 300 species. So it's nearly impossible to find them all and kill them all. Japanese beetles, as adults, are going to chew on the leaves of these plants, typically more on the sunnier days when the leaves are exposed to full sun. That also means they're going to start at the top of the tree and move down because they really want to be on those sunniest leaves. Their chewing patterns are going to look very skeletonized or lace-like, like your leaf is basically completely gone except for the veins. So you'll definitely notice the damage. Eventually, that whole leaf's going to turn brown and die. The earlier you catch the adult beetle, although the eggs have already been laid, so you kind of miss that chance. But if you can catch the adult beetles on your plants and get rid of them, your plants are going to survive throughout the summer. Management for the beetles can occur in multiple different ways. The first is to culturally manage them, and that's a practice I fear that we usually ignore because we don't get that instant gratification like we do with a chemical control or some other biological controls. But to culturally control the beetle, you just need to think back to that biology I gave you an introduction to. When females go to lay eggs, they need moist soil. So limiting your water in June and stressing out your lawn a little bit is going to decrease the survival of the Japanese beetle larva. Less larva means less adults. In terms of plant care, you can ensure your plants are healthy. That's going to increase the chance of them surviving even if there is an attack on the leaves. That includes fertilizing, mulching, irrigating, and pruning your plants. If you can catch the Japanese beetles before your plant dies, your plant will totally survive. It just might not look as good. The second way to manage beetles is through a physical practice. So what I would say is get a tub and fill it up with soapy water or rubbing alcohol, whatever you prefer, and then go through your plants and just physically pick off every beetle and drop them in the solution. It is a painfully long task to do if you have a big garden, but it definitely works. You can also hold the bucket kind of below each leaf and tap each beetle. When you do that, they kind of freak out, fold their legs up, and they'll fall into the solution. You want to do this in the morning before the sun rises. Again, back to that biology, you know they're going to feed in the sunshine, so this is going to help decrease daily damage. If you do this every few days for the first 2 weeks of emergence, which again should be about June, depending on the weather, you're going to have significantly decreased damage and your garden, lawn, landscape will look so much better throughout the summer. Everyone's going to be jealous of you if you put in the work, I promise. Many people try to replace this hand-picking method with Japanese beetle traps, but I actually want to encourage you not to use those. They're going to attract more beetles to the area, and they're going to feed while they get to the trap, so it might actually cause more damage down the line instead of just going out there and picking, even though it's harder, I understand. The very last management practice is chemical control. Contact insecticides will work on the Japanese beetle, but you have to really cover the entire plant to increase effectiveness. If your outbreak is super intense, you can spray twice a week, but research shows that applying too frequently is going to actually lead to an outbreak of the two spotted spider mites. Again, we get rid of one bug, another one moves in. It's hard, but just be mindful with your applications. And then to better control the population of those adult beetles, you might want to target the larva instead of spraying the plants in the hot summer. To do this, irrigate the suspected area to draw up the larva. Like I said, they're going to come up to the soil when it's super wet. That way you can see them and you can apply a soil-applied insecticide, water that down, and it's going to move the insecticide throughout the soil, hopefully killing most of those larvae. You're going to want to do that application about 4 weeks before the larvae emerge from their eggs to make sure the insecticide will kill all emerge larvae, because that's going to be at their weakest stage. When they get too big, it's a little harder to kill. One of the things to look for is a thick thatch layer before you apply insecticide to the soil. If you have a super thick thatch layer, the insecticide isn't going to move through the soil. So make sure you're not over applying an insecticide that's not even going to work with your lawn. So if you have noticed any lace-like damage on your plants last few years or have seen these little copper green beetles all over your property, you now have every bit of information you need to take care of them and any practice you think. Definitely remember that when killing any bugs, any garden pest, it's really important to understand their life cycle, because if you just go out there and throw out an insecticide, it's either going to not kill them because they're in the wrong stage or they're not going to be actively feeding. And we don't want you to waste your time or money to get no results. So if you have any more questions about the Japanese beetle or any other pest, definitely give the Extension Office a call. We'll walk you through it again because I just information dumped on you. But keep an eye for those white tufts, keep an eye for those copper wings, and hopefully we will have decreased Japanese beetles in the entire district this year. That's our hope.